Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, this is your host, Minister Aaron D. Hubbard, coming to you live from Speak Your Mind Now Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Today, Friday, September 23rd, 2016, we just praise God for what he has done in our lives. We just thank him for the mercy that he has given us day by day. And I continue to pray for the folks in Charlotte. I pray for the folks in Tulsa losing their loved ones to such idiocy. We just thank and praise God for the time that he has given us to live on this earth. And we don't know why these young men were stepped away from us at an early age. But we thank and praise God for that he is still on the throne. God, you only know why this went down. You only know why this injustice is happening right now. God, I ask you right now to give the people, your family, favor on behalf of Mr. Crutcher and Mr. Scott. God, we thank you right now for just being who you are. And no, we don't have all the answers, but God, you have the answers. You can you give our hearts peace right now, God. Give our hearts love right now, because we are in a state of confusion. We are in a state of misconception, God, and we can only look to you and to you only. God, I ask you right now to give comfort to the grieving families of the Scott and Crutchers. God, I ask you right now to comfort their hearts, because they are hurting, God. And yes, they're mad and they're upset, and God, I don't blame them, God, but give them the knowing fact that you are still with them, Lord. God, I ask you right now that no matter what happens, God, on this side of heaven, God, you still are in, you are in control. And we just thank and praise you for that right now, Lord, because it is you who gives us life, and God, and it is you who holds the power of life and death in your hand, God. We give no authority to the devil. We give no authority to the enemy and his works, because the devil is already defeated. And no matter what the circumstances look, God, you know you've given us the victory, God. And we just thank you right now in advance for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Yes. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Today, this is part two of I'm an Adult, the Little Boy is Gone. And like I said last time I spoke about this, I'm talking about me, yours truly, about how my life back then and even now. I just want to share my heart with you all in showing you that even ministers hurt too. Ministers are not exempt from the world's hurt. You know, we're not having an intervention shot against life's trials and tribulations, because what the non-believer goes through, we go through. So it's just amazing how God is like that, because like I said before, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I know where I would be. I'd be in hell. I would have been dead a long time ago. And I talked about the first time function of my family, how I talked about how I grew up in a household that I felt that was toxic, how I felt that was dysfunctional. And I just believe that some of those ways back then are catching up or caught up with me even today. So today, part two, I just want to talk about the destruction of my childhood. I took it from First Corinthians, about when the Apostle Paul, and I'm reading from the Living Bible Translation, he says in chapter 11, it's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood. And now I have put away the childish things. The first few words got me. It's like this. It's like Paul was saying, stop making excuses. Because we look at our friends and our environment and say, hey, look, well, if they can do it, then I can do it too. If they're doing wrong, then I can do wrong. But God says to us, his family, who are born again in the kingdom, that you are my child. I was on a show earlier, just about 15, 20 minutes ago, where I told the host of that show that we cannot be making excuses on what we do. We have to be held accountable on how we act. And as a child, I was not held accountable to a whole lot of things. because I kept making excuses. Well, such and such did it. Why can't I do it? Well, such and such said it. Why can't I say it? But my mother told me once, one day, she said, I am not their parent. You're my child. And I don't know what's going on. I don't care what's going on in their household because I did not raise them. But since you are my son, I got to deal with you how I feel like I can deal with you. And that's just like God. God deals with us in his own form of fashion. Yes, God created a human mankind, but for those who are don't believe in Christ, God is not, y'all may be mad at this about this. This is my personal opinion. God does not deal with those people because they're not his children. But I'm talking about for those of us who have been born again in the body of Christ. Because if I was acting a fool in the body of Christ after my salvation, God dealt with me on a day-to-day basis. Because the Bible says, he who spoils the rod, spares the rod, spoils his child. He who spares the rod, spoils his child. That means if a parent seeing their child doing wrong, and they don't correct them or have a sense of discipline about them, then number one, they don't care about their child or children. And number two, you're telling that child or children that they can do anything they want to do and get away with it. That's a good thought. We are telling our children that since I don't care about you, I don't love you, yeah, you can go ahead and do what you want to do because I'm through with you. But I just thank God he's not like to step towards us. I messed up a lot of times after my salvation. And I'm thanking God I'm still breathing. Yes, I was on my way to heaven, but God said your time on earth is not done yet. I still have work for you to do. And God gave me the rod of correction. When I say things I shouldn't say, when I think things I shouldn't be thinking, when I look at stuff I should be looking at, when I do things I should be doing, God corrects me, right? He don't wait. He corrects me right then and there. Now, I'm just thinking, and I praise God for all that, because had it not been for his love in my life, then, yeah, I would have been doing all kind of evil things. But by the grace of God, I'm still here. And yes, I still make mistakes. Because one day he told me, he said, you're going to make it. And I'm telling you the same thing. You're going to make it. Even if you're not born again, first of all, get born again now. Stop what you're doing. Hang up the phone. Put off the TV. Stop reading that book. Stop eating it. And give your life to Christ now. Because no man, no woman is promised tomorrow. No man, no woman is promised tonight. Our next second is not promised to us. Our breath is like a vapor. Life is too short for us to be playing with God like this. God is an omnipotent God. He's an omnipresent God. He knows what we're going through. But at the same time, he wants us to give our lives to Christ. And yes, we are going to make it.
Hey, this song right here is not real complicated. You might not even shout off this one or bob your head back and forth or nothing like that, you know. Because it's not for everybody. It's just for those who might be going through it. Need to be encouraged.
With a heavy heart, you have tried and tried. You wear a smile when you hurt deep inside. No one really knows all the pain that you bear. But the Lord sent me to tell you, hang on in there.
The tears fall down when it feels like it's over. Everything seems to be going wrong. And your heart is broken in two. No. Your heart is broken in many different pieces. I'm here to tell you, my friend, I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like.
He knows your pain and all that you've gone through.
He understands.
He feels your hurt.
Say it, friend.
He's here to put his arms around you.
So reach out through your
tears. Reach out through your tears.
You gotta hold the Savior
and
close.
Hold on to him tight.
Remember, faith is the key. So my friend, don't give up the
fight. Don't the
fight. Listen, so you made the same mistake again. But this time it feels like you won't recover. And the pain cuts like a knife. And it keeps getting deeper and deeper. But I need you to tell your brother, say. Tell your sister, regardless of what they're going through. Encourage somebody and say, it's not over despite the situation. Come on, tell them, friend.
When you've gone as far as you can, you just stand. That's what you do. Yeah. And when you
on Fred Hammond's CD, God, Love, and Romance. That was a song? I don't know. Anyway, great song. As I was listening to that song, I was looking at the lyrics, and one thing that stuck out with me, as my childhood days, I grew up in a household where I had a very evil stepfather. I mean, evil. So now I don't think he was a devil himself. So this man did some things to me that I thought that no child should ever have to go through. I was denied a lot of things as a child. I was denied hanging with my friends as a child. I was denied having to go to school activities as a child, even participate in sports as a child, because he would not do the things as a parent or a step-parent would do for their children. You know, and I was very highly abused by some of the dumbest things I've been lied on by my so-called friends, that he believed them instead of me. I was beaten almost to a point where I passed out. I was near an incident where I had almost my left eye put out of a corner of a nightstand because he was going to slam me by the nightstand. And bless my mother's heart, she's still alive. But at that time, I think she was scared of him because she didn't know how to say stop beating my child. I mean, we did have the cops come out to the house every now and then, but he was never arrested. And as a seven-year-old child, there are some things that you don't understand on how or why this parent is treating you the way they're treating you. But what James is saying, I know the storms may come, I know the winds may blow, but stand right there, stand right there. You can't give up, stand right there. That was speaking to me because as a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old, even my preteens, I still understand why this man hated me so much the way he did. Now, I have a younger brother. He just turned 35 today. I got to call him with his birthday. He just turned 35 today. And being that he was his daddy's child, he got treated differently from me. So, and I'm not blaming my brother for that because it's not his fault. But who I do fault is actually not even my stepfather, but the devil. I can say that now because I'm older in Christ. I got more mature in Christ. But at that time, I was blaming him, and I hated him, literally hated this man for what he did to me. And there's a point in my life where I got tired of getting beat. I got tired of having to answer for any old dumb thing I didn't have to answer to because I didn't have an explanation for it. I was going to end up killing this man. My mind was made up to take his life at 12 years old. Crucial, but a friend of mine, Dustin Hart, stopped me from making the big mistake of my life back then. But when you know you're in a storm situation and you don't know which way to go because the winds are blowing and the storm is rising, you got to stand. You have to stand and let God do His thing, let God work His will in our lives. Because at that time, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to act. I didn't know how to talk to this man. I was scared for my life being in the house by myself alone with him. I said it before that he had many prostitutes come in and out of the house when my mom was at work. He had people come in with drugs and cocaine and all that stuff telling me I should get some of this. I'm like, no, I don't need all that. No, I even had a prostitute come in my room. I'm in my bedroom sitting by myself. And he had the nerve to have a prostitute come in my room and say, it's time for you to be a man now. I said, leave me alone. And she left. I guess she didn't want to catch another charge about, you know, molesting or raping a 12-year-old child. And I guess she had enough sense to get out of my room. But this man had done so many evil things towards me that it's amazing I didn't go crazy. It's amazing I didn't go on a serial rampage killing spree. It's amazing I'm not behind bars. It is amazing I'm not dead. God sees everything. God knows the ins and outs of our lives because He created. I'm not saying God planned what I went through, but what I went through, God was glorified anyhow. Well, how can you say that, Minister? How can you say that God was glorified when you went through all that hell? That's just how it is. God, the word of the Lord says, and cast all our cares upon Him. Why? Because God cares for us. And I had to do just that. I had to cast all my cares because had I kept my pain and my sorrow to myself, I'd probably be in a nut house somewhere, hugging myself, straight jacket. But God said, no, God gave me a grandmother who was a praying woman who just defiled the works of the enemy and went against God, went against the enemy every day of her life. But I remember one time she came to me and said, grandson, your life will be at a point where you will not understand where God is taking you. And I had been praying for you heavily. Because she told me she had seen some things that she didn't like. God was allowing her to see some things that she didn't like. But she had to see it on behalf of me because she knew where my life was headed at that age. So between the ages of 12 to maybe about 25, I got into all kinds of nonsense. When I was 15, I literally walked from my mom's job to a shelter where she used to stay at. I only been there one time. met some folks in the facility, met some of the employees there. But one day I heard my stepfather's voice, and I think he's coming to get me and take him home with him. And I didn't want to go. My mind said, get to walking. I left the hospital, went out the front door, walked down the street, making right turns, left turns. I'm near the freeway. I'm in dangerous neighborhoods. As a 15-year-old kid, I don't know where I was going. I just walked. I don't know how far I walked. I mean, I don't know how far I was from the hospital to the shelter, but I just walked. And it was just by the hand of God that nothing ever happened to me in that day. And the lady from the shelter recognized me. She said, aren't you one of the sons? I said, yeah. Where's your mom? I said, she's at work. Does she know you're here? I said, no. So she brought me to her office and said, I'm going to call your mother. I said, okay. And my mom got there, I guess, in 15 minutes, crying. I said, how did you get out the hospital? How did you get in the hospital to here? I said, I don't know. I just kept walking because I did not want to go with a man who I was afraid of. I did not want to be in the same household with the devil. So, God help me. So at the end of the day, we went home. She took off work. We went back home, and he called, you know, asking my mom, where this MF nigga at? Where are you, this MF nigga? I'm all kind of names, you know. I'm all kind of niggas. I'm all kind of GDs. I'm all kind of stuff. I'm everything. I'm a child of God, right? So when I was hearing him up through the phone. He was talking just that loud. Where does MF go? Where did he go? I'm so glad. I mean, all kind of names that you should name to a child how you feel about them, even if you're mad at them. Just don't do that. So my mom said, well, he walked away from you because he was scared of you. That nigga need to be scared of me or his punk ass. I mean, all kind of evil stuff in this man's mouth. So when I walked from the hospital to the shelter, that was nobody but God. And I just thank God today, every day, that I'm still alive, because had I not walked away from that nonsense, I might not even be here today. I would probably be killed at age 15. So the destruction of my childhood was this, that I lived with an evil parent, an evil step-parent, rather. I lived with hatred. I lived with heartache. I lived with evilness. I lived with deception. I lived with being conceived. I mean, oh, God, thank you. Oh, my God, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I lived with all kind of evil stuff in that household. And I think at that time, I was getting ready to stay with my grandparents. Well, my grandmother, both my grandparents, my grandpa came back from out of town. Both my grandparents, and I stayed about a year and a half, went to school down there. And I didn't come back until he was gone from the household, because the police actually had to have him removed from the household because of his endangerment of a minor. But since the age of 15, 16 years old, even 17 years old, I was in danger of my life being taken away from me. And for the destruction of my childhood being so amplified, I was literally afraid of this man. That's why I said I was going to get a gun and kill him, because I didn't want to deal with him no more. I don't want to deal with the justice system and the juvenile system and to deal with an evil man who was out to take my life from me at an early age. So when God told my grandma that he was showing her some things that she didn't like, that's when she kicked in and says, I'm praying for you, but at the same time, I'm going to have you protected. And God was in there all along. God was protecting me from day one. Because she obviously gave the idea to my mother, have him come stay with me. Now, at that time, I think a lot of parents may disagree with this or agree, whatever. But at that time, if your child is in danger of your spouse's negligence, why would you even have that child shipped to another family member? I was going to say the word shit. I'm sorry. Why don't you have that child removed from the household until things get better? Why don't you have that the negligent spouse moved away from the house? You know, why are the children affected where they had to move? So, I love my grandparents. May they both rest in peace. I had a blast down where they were. It was countrified. Not much to do, but that's what kind of kept me out of trouble down there anyway. So I thank God for being bored to death. Thank God for boredom. But at the same time, I knew that I had folks on my side who still loved me, who was praying for me. Because my grandparents, they were something else. They were good people. They were loving people. They were godly people. And for them to do what they did, I am indebted for them for that. And I can never repay them because they're both dead and gone. But I will see them again. But, you know, like when I read the Bible of 1 Corinthians, Paul said it's like this. So I was making excuses. And that's what a lot of us are still doing. We're still making excuses. Well, I wouldn't be like this if it weren't for such and such. And I think it's sad that we still do that. That's why we have to put away our childish thoughts and become grown-up people. You know, when I became, I think every year as I get older, I see things I never saw the year before. But now God has allowed me to wake up and see things that I do not like, that I used to like, pick up for myself. That's why I have a show called Speak Your Mind Now, because God has allowed me to speak my mind on certain topics that I feel that it should be addressed, but addressed in a way that God is glorified, not to bash people, not to hurt people. But God said to me, he said, now, if you decide to do this, be prepared for the wrath that's coming against your way. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, because there are some people out there in radio land who would not like what you have to say. But it's going to be my truth. And that's true. There are a lot of folks who don't want to hear the truth. I never will understand that, but okay, well, God, you deal with it. So, even my own family, bless their heart, they told me that, you know, they don't agree with the stuff I say half the time. But guess what? It's the truth. And we have to speak God's truth. We have to speak his word, because the Bible said we should worship God in spirit and in truth. And if we don't do that, then we are not only deceiving God, we're deceiving ourselves. And we really can't deceive God, because God is all-knowing. God is saying, like, look, you can't fool me. I know who created you. I know ends and outs of the whole being. I know how you think. I know how you are. You can't fool me. So when Paul, the apostle, broke it down and said that his thoughts grew far beyond both of his childhood, we have to take the same attitude. Look, this is how I used to think. But this is not how I think anymore. This is how I used to act. But I'm not going to go that route. This is what I would say to you right about now. But I'm going to hold my tongue, keep my peace. Because me, myself, I used to be something else. I used to be bugger. You would say something crazy, you would say something crazy back to you. That's on the up and up. And my tongue was like a 9mm. It just go off, and I don't know how it went off. It's just a hairpin trigger. I see it in my mind. Like I said on the show last time, I said, I don't think before I see half the time, because I wouldn't be surprised as y'all are. And that's true talk. I mean, I say things like, wait a minute, did he just say what he just said? Yeah. You surprised? Me too. So, but I thank God for growth. I thank God for his love, his grace and mercy upon my life. Because had I not been for him, man, look at here. So, if you have anything to say or comment about what I say or any of my other shows I talk about, please feel free to give me an email at speakyourmindnow@yahoo.com. I would love to hear from you. I would love to have you on my show as a guest. If you want to be interviewed, if you're doing God's work or anything for his kingdom. I would love to hear what you guys say and how you're contributing back to God's will and his ways. Wow, this is awesome. Gosh, God is good. He's God. He's just awesome like that. If you're going to still be in prayer for the folks, for the people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in Charlotte, North Carolina, and for everybody who lost loved ones against gang violence, police violence, any kind of violence, we're going to keep you in our prayers. God bless you and God keep you. And let God be God. Let God have his way. Because it's amazing. It's amazing how he is to us. And it's amazing how his love is. God bless you.
Blessing you are to me, Lord, to say I'm blown away by your amazing. Don't get everybody to help me say, oh.
Pastor Dwayne tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
You are gone.